Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Verses 1 through 9 of Joshua chapter 1. Reading verse 9 one more time. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Then looking in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Then continuing in Ephesians 6, verse 10, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should." In Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4, then verses 10 to 20. Thank you once again, Father, for your word, which is the sword of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that as we follow you, we can walk continually in triumph and victory as we learn to listen to your word and your Spirit and obey you. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that as we, by your wisdom and grace, commit our marriages and our families into your hands, Lord, more and more, We can see your grace and mercy working mightily in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, and in the lives of our children as well. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying families you'd have us to be. Empower us to be the praying church you'd have us to be more and more faithfully with every passing day. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for us as the church. And thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just ask that you'd speak this morning, that we'd be open, available, and listening. And Father, that we'd be responsive to your word. Jesus says during the ascension, when he goes back up to heaven, he says, go and make disciples, and I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for being present with us. Thank you for being our strength. Thank you for bringing peace. Thank you for bringing wisdom. Father, I just ask that you'd continue to equip us to overcome all the temptations that we face, and that we could be steadfast and grow more in holiness every day. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Today, we're looking at the topic, part two of Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Again, part two of Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. And part of our goal is to share insights and wisdom for every married couple. I want to remind you, husbands and wives, it's wise for you to trust God to help you to be faithful, to pray together every single day, and to pray significantly for each other every single day. Keep in mind, anytime we obey the word of God, we're battling the kingdom of darkness. We're building the kingdom of God, and we're battling in the kingdom of darkness. And remember, obedience puts you on offense when it comes to spiritual warfare. And the goal is that you'll always be on offense spiritually. And, you know, sometimes believers may make the big mistake of saying, well, I'm not in full-time ministry, I'm just in part-time ministry. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be in full-time ministry. We're all called to full-time ministry. What is ministry? Ministry is doing the will of God. And so we are all to be in full-time ministry, never taking a vacation from ministry, because ministry should be happening continually. Our goal should be to always be in a listening mode, listening to what God is saying to us by His Word and His Spirit, and obeying. And so, if you're wondering whether or not you as a believer are called to Christian ministry, let me take away the mystery. Yes, you are, and the Lord has much work for you and I to do every day of our lives. So we're to live in a listening mode. And so as we're looking once again at the topic, again, part two of Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense, our encouragement is that, amongst other things, you come to learn of the joy that's found in simply following God. You know, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it is important for us to know that, again, we're to be growing in our understanding of how to operate and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in all that we do. So as we're looking at the topic, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense, I want to remind you of these some important truths. You and your family are wise to live every day basically on mission. In other words, live to where our goal is to be serving God in every context, in every setting, knowing the will of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Word of God tells us, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Part of what that means is to seek first the kingdom of God is to seek first God's way of doing things, God's approach, God's perspective, seeking to honor Him and to serve Him in all that we do. So yes, it's true for you and each member of your family to seek to live that way, seeking first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. So be mindful of that. Keep in mind, a very important tool and part of your life as a follower of Christ is obviously the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and a very, very closely related, obviously related and wonderful additional tool is the gift of prayer, the opportunity to pray, to come to God in prayer. And in many ways, they come together wonderfully because time in the Word of God is a form of prayer. It's heavy on the listening, but it's a prayer. It's a tool for communing with God and walking with God. So every believer is called to be a diligent student of Scripture, reading and meditating on the Word daily. Every believer is called to be a tremendous prayer warrior. Prayer should be a vital part of all of our lives. And, you know, husbands and wives, you should pray together a lot in your home. You should pray more at home than you do at church because you live at home and you're at home a whole lot more. So if you as a couple, as husband and wife, if praying together at home is strange, if you're believers, you need to fix that. God says pray without ceasing. So you should be praying a whole lot in your homes. And yes, praying with your spouse often is a very wise thing. And as we touched on the last time, praying about the challenges in your marriage, praying about the challenges you face as husband and wife against the world as well. So yes, we're to pray about some of the areas where people often struggle in their marriages. Yes, you should pray for wisdom when it comes to handling money. That's a big area of struggle for many couples. You should pray for wisdom and God's grace in communicating. Communication is one of the biggest reasons, sadly, that many couples go their separate ways because they fail to learn how to communicate effectively and productively. Praying about your intimate life. Yes, your sex life. Praying over it and praying for God to bless it and to prosper it according to His perfect will. God wants you to honor Him in that part of your life and every other area of life. Praying for grace and wisdom to be effective parents, wise parents. And as we touched on before, keep in mind, in this world of high-tech electronic devices, cell phones, and so many other things, these little devices can, if we allow them to, can greatly complicate things for your life as a parent. But it's important that we, by the wisdom and grace of God, get on top of that, regulate it in a way that honors and pleases the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to encourage husbands and wives, encourage fathers and mothers, encourage grandfathers and grandmothers to be effective at doing what you've called them to do as husbands, as wives, as fathers, as mothers, as grandfathers and grandmothers, and just as children as well. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of wisdom. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of passion to really be about your will and your way of doing things. Empower us to be believers that really are genuinely seeking to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness in our homes and in our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We are wise in our homes to pray much for not only our own families, but praying for other things as well. We should pray daily as families. We're wise to pray daily for the church, to pray for missions both in our local communities and foreign missions in other nations as well. We should pray daily for our nation. We should pray daily for our government. We should pray for things such as upcoming elections and just pray for leaders. Leaders need so much prayer. It's important that we really know that one of the most powerful weapons in life is the weapon of prayer, and we're wise to live lives full of prayer every day of our lives. Praying for mission projects that you're aware of. And sometimes you need to pray and say, Lord, would you have me and my family to go on a mission trip or to begin maybe a local mission in my community? But the fact is, every believer is to be involved in ministry and mission. And it's our responsibility to learn about these things and to do them as well. Lord, thank you again for every believer listening, thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. And thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to live life on mission, knowing there's so much work to be done. Lord, for each and every one of us, bless each and every one of us. Indeed, expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mighty upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil, though we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking at part two of Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. We'll be right back.
We're giving you the praise, giving you the praise.
Music from the Planet Shakers with the title of the song, Heaven on Earth. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense, Part 2. And we're continuing to encourage you as husbands and wives and as parents and as families to make it your goal to not just function on defense spiritually, be on offense. And how do you do that? Bold obedience keeps you on offense spiritually in the kingdom of God as an individual believer, as a couple, and as a family, boldly obeying and following the Lord Jesus Christ. I shared on the last program, but once again, I want to take time to do this once again. An article that we have on the AFA stand is entitled Praying Daily for Your Spouse. And I would encourage if you haven't emailed us to get a copy, please do that because it's a wise thing to pray this on a daily basis for your spouse. I'm going to take time once again to pray it. And of course, there's the husband's prayer for the wife, and then the wife's prayer for her husband is a part of the article as well. So, but for our purposes, obviously, I'm just going to read the part where I'm praying for my wife, Bertie, specifically. But if you want to get a copy, simply email us. Again, joseph@afr.net is how to get a copy. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for my wife, Bertie, and thank you for the gift she is to me, to our family, and to the church and the kingdom of God. Lord, bless my wife, Bertie, today. Indeed, expand her territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon her. Keep her from evil that she may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, help her this day to be the full blessing you would have her to be to the world. And help me this day to be the full blessing to her that you want me to be. In Jesus' name, fill her today with joy, peace, grace, and encouragement. Help her to walk in your love and your joy and your peace. Help her to spend the time in your word and in prayer that you would have her to spend today in Jesus' name. And Lord, help her today to put you first in her life. Help her to not make any graven images. Help her to not take your name in vain. Help her to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help her to honor her father and her mother. Help her to value life. Help her to not steal. Help her to not commit adultery. Help her to tell the truth. Help her to not covet in Jesus' name. Empower her this day to fulfill all the call of God upon her life in the name of Jesus. Help her to live today as the living sacrifice you would have her to be for you and for your will and your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. And dear Lord, bless her, bless Bertie today, and keep her. Make your face to shine mightily upon her and be gracious to her. Dear Lord, lift up the countenance of your face upon her and give her your peace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And again, the prayer that I just prayed was the husband's prayer for his wife. And of course, the next prayer, of course, is the wife's prayer for her husband, which is pretty much the same thing except the wife praying for her husband. Email us to get a copy, please. Every spouse listening, joseph@afr.net. And again, when you get it, don't just get it to say you've gotten it. I would encourage you and challenge you, make it your goal to pray it over your spouse every single day. Keep in mind that we're building the kingdom of God, and we're battling the kingdom of darkness. We make prayer the priority. God has called us to make it in our homes. We're to pray for one another as husbands and wives. Parents, we're to pray daily for each of our children. Grandparents, we're to pray daily for each of our children and our grandchildren as well. Remember, you are battling the kingdom of darkness and building the kingdom of God when you're giving your life, giving yourself to prayer. I want to invite you to look with me in the Word of God in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Again, we're looking at the topic, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. And as I've mentioned a number of times already, keep in mind, bold obedience in the kingdom of God keeps you on offense rather than on defense. And the fact is, as believers, when we're functioning on defense when it comes to spiritual warfare, we're really in the wrong place. The fact is, in the kingdom of God, we're called to be on offense actually all the time. I want to share with you a powerful story account from Scripture that beautifully illustrates the importance of getting off defense and getting on offense when it comes to the things of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, picking up at verse 1. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar." This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, 'Whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us.' And now, see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now, see how they reward us? For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite, who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz, the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Verses 1 through 26. And I'm going to take time to go ahead and read just a little bit more because I want you to listen to a fuller context. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Verses 1 through 30, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, this is a very powerful account of God working amongst his people in a very important and critically strategic way. Keep in mind, at the beginning of this account in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat and Judah get news that there's a vast army of at least three different nations coming against them to attack them. So obviously, Judah appears immediately to be on defense, and King Jehoshaphat is very afraid. But he wisely goes to God in prayer, and he invites all of Israel to fast and pray before the Lord. And he leads the nation in prayer. Well, keep in mind, because he chose to obey by being a king who would pray for his nation and pray for wisdom and pray for God's help, that's an act of obedience. And in his obedience, he immediately went from being on defense to offense. Remember, prayer is a powerfully offensive word that puts us on offense. In other words, because remember, obedience in the kingdom of God puts you on offense. Well, In obedience to God, he came to God in prayer. Of course, God tells us in his word, pray without ceasing. What a wise king to go to God, the God of the universe, and ask him for help on behalf of the nation. And remember, God has called us to humble ourselves and pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear them from heaven and I will heal their land. How important it is that we humble ourselves before God in prayer as individual believers, but also as husbands and wives and as families as well. Again, remember, by God's grace, King Jehoshaphat helped the whole nation of Judah to move off being on defense to offense as he led them in prayer. And God fought their battle for them. When they got to the battlefield, they didn't have to lift a sword. The grace of God and the Spirit of God worked on their behalf, and the enemy turned on each other, started fighting and killing each other. And by the time Judah got to the battlefield, the battle was over. The enemy was completely defeated. How important it is that we learn to let God fight our battles. Remember, the battle is the Lord's. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to live a life full of prayer. Anoint every couple that's listening. Anoint every family that's listening afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be wise enough to learn to pray about the big things and the little things and all the in-between things, knowing that as we're wise to live prayer-filled lives, it's one of the wonderful ways whereby we can be on offense in life. Help us to recognize, Lord, that there's no problem that's too big for you, too difficult, too insurmountable at all, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. With you, Lord, nothing is impossible. Help us to always be mindful of that truth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Part 2, we'll be right back.
You're calling me over. You're pulling me close. With love you surround me. You give me hope. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're
Music of Lincoln Brewster with Made New. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we're looking today at the topic, part two of Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. And remember, in the kingdom of God, diligent obedience puts you and keeps you on offense when it comes to spiritual warfare. And that's the place where God would have us to be on offense on an ongoing basis. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and for time reasons, we won't try to read that, but I would encourage you, take time to read 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's the powerful account of David defeating Goliath, the Philistine champion. Now, keep in mind that, too, once again, is an example in Scripture of believers moving from defense to offense. Just real briefly to kind of summarize the instance, the chapter opens up and the Israelite army is on one side of the valley and the Philistines are on the other, and a champion from the Philistines steps out and challenges any one soldier that would come out to fight him. The champion's name, of course, is Goliath. And King Saul is just too afraid to even think about stepping out on the battlefield. And no other Israelite soldier in the whole army is willing to do it either. And so for 40 days, Goliath steps out and taunts the whole Israelite army. And sadly, the whole Israelite army is fearful and afraid, and not a single person even seriously thinks about it, appears, to step out and fight Goliath. But then along comes a young shepherd boy by the name of David, who, though he was not a soldier in the army of King Saul, he was a man that loved God, and the Bible refers to him as a man after God's own heart. He was a young man that loved God and served God and trusted God. He was willing to take on the battle to fight Goliath, and by the grace of God, he was allowed to step out to fight Goliath and defeated him. And so all of a sudden, those Israel and King Saul were on defense at the beginning of the chapter. When David steps out on the field, he speaks the word of God and he goes out, defeats Goliath, kills him. And all of a sudden, Israel goes from being on defense to offense. And the Philistines immediately are fearful. The whole army turns and runs in fear. And all of a sudden, the Israelite army becomes very bold and is willing to attack the enemy. And it was a great victory for Israel that day and a great defeat for the Philistines. What happened? One man who put his faith and trust in God was willing to trust God in obedience. And that turned them from being a nation on defense to offense. And a great victory was won for the people of God and for the kingdom of God. Remember, individually and as couples and as families, when we passionately obey, when we read the Word of God and obey the Word of God, that puts us and keeps us on offense spiritually. That's the place where we're to be. So my encouragement is that we make it a goal to passionately obey what God has called us to do in His Word, passionately and diligently read and study the Word, and passionately and diligently obey the Word of God as well. You know, we often talk about our project, the Ten Commandments Project, and you know, on an ongoing basis, whether you as an individual or your family gets involved with it, remember, the Ten Commandments is a wonderful weapon and tool in the Word of God to help us know God's wisdom, God's counsel, and God's grace at work in and amongst people. And so it's good for us to know the Ten Commandments, but also it's good for us to know what they mean. And parents, we're wise to have each of our children memorize them, and we're wise to teach them the meaning behind each and every one of them. How sad it is we live in a nation where, again, many people think it's okay to murder babies in the form, the term we use, of course, is abortion, but abortion is simply another term for murder. It's taking innocent life. Abortion is always wrong. Yet, sadly, there are lots of people who, though one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder, there are lots of adults as well as children who that's not a part of their thinking. Why not? It hasn't been taught. Then they haven't been discipled in the truths of God's Word as found in the Ten Commandments. Parents, please take time to teach your children the Ten Commandments, to have them memorize the Ten Commandments and teach them the meaning of each and every one of them. They're critically important to every part of our society. So, as believers, some offensive actions we can take, in other words, things we can do to be on offense spiritually in our homes, is read the Word of God as a family together every day. Also, pray the Word of God together as a family every single day. Place the Ten Commandments on display in your home so that the children can see them often, just in passing as well as when they're deliberately seeking to read or memorize them as well. And also, of course, we have on an ongoing basis, we continue the project whereby if your child simply memorizes the Ten Commandments, they call our radio station. And once they've recited the Ten Commandments to you by memory, you can call the station, give us their size, give us your mailing address, and we'll send a Ten Commandments T-shirt for your child or children after they've memorized them. Remember, that's an investment on the American Family Association's part. But you know, you and I know this, our children are more than worth it. And these are not just nice Sunday school projects. Remember, we live in a nation where, sadly, you have young people murdering other young people for different reasons and under different circumstances. This is a way to combat the darkness. This is a way to get on offense rather than being on defense when it comes to spiritual things. Teach your children the Ten Commandments. Have them to memorize them. Teach the meaning of them. I would encourage you to prayerfully consider the possibility of starting one of the outreaches we've talked about, whereby maybe over a 4 to 6 week period, you will have a class where you're teaching the youth or helping to see to it that the youth in your church are taught the Ten Commandments and the meaning behind the Ten Commandments, that they would memorize them and learn to live them as well. How important that is. Also, you know, as I've mentioned, I don't know how many times in the past, but we would encourage you to pray Psalm 91 every day in your home. Pray it every day over your life and over the life of your family, and pray it over our nation as well, because it's a wise thing to do. Thank you, Lord, again, for all the believers that are listening at this time, and thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Again, our encouragement to you is that every believer listening would memorize Psalm 91 and begin to pray it every day. But now, even before you memorize it, you can easily open your Bible to Psalm 91 and pray through it every single day. Or if you want to, simply email us to get a copy of a prayer based on Psalm 91. We're glad to get it to you. Again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Be mindful, Psalm 91 is a wonderful and a unique weapon within the Word of God. Now remember, all of God's Word is the sword of the Spirit. The most powerful weapon in the universe is the Word of God. Yet Psalm 91 is a unique weapon that we can pray on a daily basis that can be a blessing to our physical health, but also can be a tool whereby God can work to supernaturally protect us from the dangers and the evils of this dangerous, crazy world we live in. Parents, we would encourage you to make it your goal to whatever incentive would be productive to use with your child, but have your child to memorize a prayer based on Psalm 91 and invite your child to pray it every single day over themselves and over their schools. The Lord may very well use them to save not only their life, but the lives of their fellow students one day in their school as well. Yes, it's a powerful weapon. And remember, in the dangerous, crazy world we live in, No one can protect you like God can. God may dispatch one or maybe 50 angels on your behalf, but the fact is no one can protect us like God can. So praying Psalm 91 daily in your home is just a wise thing for every parent to see to it that happens. But also having your children to memorize Psalm 91 and teaching your son or daughter to pray it every day is very, very important. Again, prayer is a weapon that keeps you on offense as we use it faithfully as believers. Reading the Word of God in your home on a regular basis. And remember this, nothing can ever replace the reading of Scripture. However, it is very wise to use an audio Bible as well, along with your regular reading, Bible reading. Listening to your audio Bible to supplement your Bible reading is a very wise thing to do. You can cover a lot of ground in Scripture as you simply listen, maybe while you're getting ready for work in the morning, on your way in your vehicle, in doing other tasks. But listening to an audio Bible in some form is very, very productive for each and every one of us as well. So these are just some things we can do. But remember, our goal is to encourage you to be mindful that when it comes to spiritual warfare, the Christian family is called every day to be on offense. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and received Him as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step in your life, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you for my entire life. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. We do wish to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Also, if you'd like to get copies of the article that we share, Praying Daily for Your Spouse, same email, joseph@afr.net. Or if you'd like to get a copy of the article entitled Kingdom Prayers, which has a number of Bible-based prayers, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Again, we've been looking today at the topic Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense, Part 2. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.